Okay. My name is Kalea. I'm 17 years old. Today is Monday, January 7th, and I'm speaking with Patrick Burke, who is my principal. We were recording this interview in South Burlington, Vermont, and it is for my Public Issues and World Affairs class. What aspects of school security do you oversee?
So one of the things that, as being school principal, is it's kind of one of those jobs where you kind of have to oversee everything. But there are also a lot of different layers and support that come into play that can help me oversee school security. So in that respect, there are some things that... And also because South Burlington High School is one school in its school district that has five schools, there are some things that happen across the whole district, and there are some things, and those decisions are usually made by superintendent of schools or maybe the school board, and then there are some things that just happen at South Burlington High School, and I'm probably the person that's making those decisions. But even then, if I let's say delegate some decision making about school security to other people or groups of people, it's still my responsibility. So I guess like the biggest answer to the question, or the most honest answer to the question, is every aspect.
Dang.
Okay.
Yeah. What is personally more important to you, freedom or security? Why?
So I think that's a pretty thoughtful question. I think when it comes to a school environment, I think that freedom is important. I don't know if it's hard for me to contrast freedom with security, because I'm not positive that they're always in conflict with each other. So for example, when it comes to some of my personal beliefs about access to weapons or policies related to common sense gun regulation, I fall more on the side of security than I do of freedom. Like, I don't believe that people or just anyone should be able to have access to some really dangerous weapons and things like that. You know, when it comes to the school environment, what I see security working in at times in conflict with is the sense of community, and what kind of learning environment do we want to have, and what do we want it to be like? So if you imagine like places that you're comfortable, you know, where are you comfortable? I'm comfortable at my house. I'm really comfortable in my room at my house. And you know, if and now you could imagine if like every time you were going to go into your house, you know, somebody had to like buzz you in, you know what I mean? That would feel kind of weird. And you'd be like, oh, this whole buzzing me in is affecting my comfort feeling, you know what I mean? And so at school, I'm really concerned about how the security measures that we take or whether we have to take them or we choose to take them, I'm really concerned about how they impact that comfort level. But when asked to choose, if I thought that that we were doing something that was going to make this not a secure environment for students, then I wouldn't support it. So I guess ultimately I need everybody to be safe and I need everybody to be secure. But I want to make sure that that's balanced with people's comfort level. And so it's a little bit like being a parent. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, or it's a little bit like, you know, what are measures that you take at your house? You know, like some people don't lock their doors, other people do. You know, it just kind of depends, you know. So anyway, that's a pretty long answer. And I think we're going to talk about some more of this stuff later.
Basically, like, you want a there's not one that is really stands out to you. You want, like, a balance.
I definitely want a balance, and the idea and the comfort level of students coming into their school and how much it feels comfortable like home is really important to me. We can't take it to the absolute extreme, and that's the balance that I'm always trying to make sure that we're, you know, striking.
How did your perspective on school security change after the SB lockdowns in 2017?
So I think a couple of things, actually, and we were just talking about this the other day, like some of the faculty members were just talking about this. And one thing that changed was that we had been like preparing for and like practicing like all these kinds of school security measures, you know, for a long time before 2017, you know, pretty much. It used to be like way back when I first started, it was like we would just do fire drills and that was it. That was the only thing we ever did was fire drills, right? And so, like, even when I was a kid, like, we would do fire drills. That's the only school security things that schools ever did. And then starting in, like, the early 2000s, we started doing other kinds of drills, like, to get prepared for other types of crisis. You know, a fire is a crisis. There are other types of crises that could happen. There could be a crisis in the city, on Dorset Street. There could be, you know what I mean, where, you know, the safest place in the world for our students should be right where they are. There could be a crisis inside the school where we need to get students out of the school because there's some kind of crisis going on within the school. So anyway, back to 2017, what, you know, we would kind of go through all these drills and like, never actually had a crisis, you know what I mean? And so one big thing that changed for me was my appreciation of the drills, because I think I got a little bit, it wasn't like I was like, oh, nothing's ever going to happen, because, you know, you're always aware that something could happen. But I also always felt like, I also felt like some of the things that we potentially were getting prepared for maybe were like, you know, really never gonna, you know, like, when are we ever gonna need like go buckets in the classroom and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And so so those kinds of things, so my perspective on that changed after the lockdown. The other thing that that changed for me after that is it was very intense for me to deal with the range of responses that people had to those situations. You know, from some people were like, you know, they're like, yeah, whatever, and some people were like really, really afraid. And so and I would say that it was intense for me to respond to people in both ends of the continuum, you know what I mean? It was a big deal. So when people are like, oh, whatever, it's not a big deal, that was a response that I had struggled to connect with. Yeah. And then also, you know, there were people that were really afraid. And I, you know, there was some intensity in trying to work with, you know, teachers and students who, you know, for whom that was a very negative experience. And so that really made me think about and appreciate, to be honest, some of the great people around the school, especially the students, you know. It was a pretty powerful experience to have the students be so amazing in the way that they kind of, I guess cooperated is the best word I can think of, but feels like even that's not the right word. But So I feel like I'll never forget that, you know.
How about after Parkland?
So one of the things that is sad about, so like I decided that I was going to be a teacher in 1988, and there hadn't been any like real school shooting, like that wasn't a thing. And so I never even, and when I was a kid, you know, we didn't think about that kind of stuff. And you could probably go in the history books and find out that there was like a school shooting in 1950 or something, like, right, I don't know. But it wasn't part of, right, exactly. And it wasn't part of the like national consciousness, you know what I mean? So so the big things that changed were, you know, there was a shooting in Kentucky that I remember. There was a, you know, when I was a young educator, there was a shooting in Colorado that I remember. I worked at this school when that happened. And then there was the one in Connecticut, and then there was the one in Parkland. And I think the biggest difference, because we have like sirens in the background, yeah, for effect, the biggest difference after Parkland for me was the, and I can't say I was surprised one bit by it, but it was the way that the students in the high school responded, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't even this high school. It was like the whole country responded.
Exactly. And so my perspective there changed, because I really felt like, there was a generation of young people who were really, and they were just spot on right, just kind of saying like, no, this is baloney. We shouldn't have to put up with this. And I really felt like, you know, what can I do as a educator, as a citizen, as a father, you know, as just a, and as a school principal, like what can I do to make sure that kids who are expressing that feel like I have their back, you know what I mean? Like, and so that was a pretty powerful experience, and I continue to be really motivated. I'm not afraid to talk about my beliefs around common sense gun legislation. I'm not afraid to talk about you know, what I think to be right when it comes to issues relative to like background checks and all that kind of stuff, because I really believe in that. I've kind of always believed in it, but I've been a little reluctant to be active in that area. But now, like, I called every single one of my legislators after Parkland, and I said, just so you know, if there ever comes a bill before you that reflects common sense approach to access to guns, and you don't vote in favor of that bill, I'll never, ever, ever vote for you again. I don't care if I have to like write in Mickey Mouse, you know? And I told them all that, and they're like, yeah, no, we know, Pat. Okay, thanks for your feedback, you know? But I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, this is it. Like, I am never gonna, and I don't do that about a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? It's not really.
But this
really,
one's important.
Yeah, it struck me, you know, it really did. Mostly, I've always felt that way, like I said, but I was really moved by the students.
I feel like, from a student point of view, like you said, some people during the lockdowns were like, oh, whatever, it's not anything. But, like, Parkland really struck a chord with, like, everyone. And it was a big, like, realization and, like, a wake-up call for us. We're like, wait, holy crap, this is, like, actually, like, this could happen to us. And I think that's, I think it's kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but it was crazy. I just wanted to see how it was from a principal point of view.
Yeah.
Oh. you mentioned during the last lockdown that there is a team that works on drills and security and other measures such as that. Who makes up that team?
So this is one of those this is one of those places where there's a whole district approach. So now you could kind of imagine that it's not just high school people who are at the table. So on the district crisis team or crisis response team, there's a coordinator for that team who works in the finance and operations building, and her job is to make sure that like the meetings are scheduled and that the meetings happen and that the agendas are tight and that the people who need to be there for that topic are there, And then from the high school on that team, I'm on that team. Both assistant principals are on that team. The director of guidance is on that team. Officer Grealis, who's, you know, a South Burlington police officer, but he's also on our staff. He's on that team. And starting this year, because we have campus safety officers or campus safety staff, they're on that team, or the lead campus safety person is on that team. And then there's community people on the team. Like, there's a fire person on the, there's somebody from fire on the team, there's someone from rescue on the team, there's someone from South Burlington Police on the team. And so, and the school nurse is on the team. Every school nurse is on the team. So it's a lot of people. And we do, and that team does a number of different things. Like, that team establishes expectations around district level protocols for things like drills. You know what I mean? So we want our students to have drills at Chamberlain be similar to drills at Tuttle, to be similar to drills at the high school. You know, same thing with like Georgia and the Islands. Those are small schools that send a lot of kids to us. And so, you know, we need to learn about how do they practice things, and so that we're ready to help, you know, students when they come to us. So, so there's a lot of, or that's the easiest example of something that we want to be similar. Now, and a lockdown might look different for an elementary school than it would for the high school, you know what I mean? But we still want the ideas to be similar, you know what I mean? So, so those are some things that team does. And the other thing that team does is we do what are called tabletop exercises, which is basically like, what would you do? You know what I mean? What would you do if? So, for example, a tabletop exercise that we had done in the past was, what would you do if there was a bank robbery on Dorset Street? You know, there's like five banks on Williston Road, Dorset Street, down by Orchard, there's a few banks. What would you do if there's a bank robbery and there's a person with a gun, like, you know, rob the bank? And so then that just gets put in the middle of the table, like, pretend this happens. And then everybody who's on the team says, like, okay, the first thing I would do is this. And then, you know, so, like, I would say, like, okay, well, we're going to secure the outside of the school right away. You know what I mean? We're going to make sure all of our doors are locked. You know what I mean? Then it's like, okay, next thing we're going to do is we're going to secure the perimeter of the school. You know what I mean? We're going to secure the campus. You know what I mean? We're going to make sure that a car couldn't come in or out. We're going to block some of the entrances. And then while I'm doing that, let's say the group director of guidance might say, okay, I'm going to be thinking about specific students that maybe have experienced trauma in their past, or that might be really struggling with something. Anytime there's a real crisis, these students might escalate. I'm thinking about those students. How can I help those students? How can I get to them? Where are they? Who are their counselors? You know, those kinds of things. The police, they're saying, well, this is what we're doing. You know, we're trying to find the bad person, right? But we're also trying to make sure that the community and the city are safe. And it just keeps going. So that's just an example of, like, we would practice, you know. And you know, you could never practice everything, but by doing these kind of tabletop exercises, like, and sometimes things come up, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's kind of like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. You know, we better come up with a plan to deal with this situation that came up in this pretend plan. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what would we do if like we have a fitness walking class? You know what I mean? So, like, in that case, it's like, oh, the fitness walking class is over on Kennedy Drive. Uh-oh. Like, what are we going to do? You know, so we need to tell them, you know what I mean, get inside Maple Fields, or get, you know, get yourself to Central School, or, you know what I mean, something like that, so that we can make sure that those students are safe. So those kind of things, they come up, and you don't really know what could possibly come up unless you practice. And so that's another thing that the crisis team does.
That's cool. Do you recall the reactions of the students and staff after we relocated the morning drop-off?
So in terms of the students who ride the bus, Like those students, I don't think they really cared because it was actually nicer to be dropped off. Like the walk from the bus to the school is shorter. Right. So it was a little bit like, you know, sweet, I'm getting dropped off right in front of the school. You know, that didn't, so I didn't hear any complaints from anybody who rode the bus. In fact, students in general, I didn't really hear complaints about that, with the exception, except for students who park on the north side of the school. So for students who park on the north side of the school, you know, it meant that they couldn't come in those side doors by the library. They had to walk around and come in the front. And so I heard from those students that, that you know, they wanted a shorter walk. And so the other group that didn't like the change were the, and actually it was interesting because I think they didn't like it because I didn't explain it well enough, was the bus drivers.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because they were like, this is such a pain because now instead of, because they used to just be able to do like one quick loop around, yeah. Now they needed to go back onto Dorset Street, which is a pain in the morning. So they would come in here and then go back on Dorset Street, then go drop off the Tuttle kids, you know what I mean? Or maybe drop off the Tuttle kids first and then come go back onto Dorset Street and come back right. In here. And so it was a hassle for them, and I understand that. And, but once I told them, hey, listen, you know, this is the reason that we're doing it. They were like, oh, we're fine. You know what I mean? So it was a good example for me, or a good reminder for me to like, make sure I explain exactly what we're doing and why, to the extent that I can.
Right, because, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because I walk and I live like over there. So right. The first time it happened, I would like went to like open the back door and I was like, what the heck?
Right. So you live over like Barrett Street,
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, I live on Barrett Street, exactly. Yeah. And me and my brother were like, what the heck? This is so annoying. And then like after they were like, well, it's just for security and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
But it is hard. Like once you, you know, and I mean, it's cold sometimes, you know, and once you kind of get used to something, you know, it's change is hard. You know what I mean? And
right.
And it's like even now we lock those side doors during the school day. And so, like, if I go over, like, the superintendent's office, he's my boss, he's over in Tuttle. So, like, if I go over to a meeting with him, and then I have to come back to the school, because for 20 years I've been walking in those side doors,
right.
My body, like, automatically walks to those doors. And then used to be I'd get all the way to the door, and then I get halfway to the door. Now I kind of, like, remember halfway across the parking lot, you know what I mean? So it's
right.
Just, like, retraining your brain,
yeah.
like we were talking about earlier. But most of the time when we tell people that it's for security, in most of the time people understand, you know, it's like when when I was in college and I went to get on an airplane, like you just walked in the airport and got on the airplane, you know, and
that's crazy.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know, you have to go through all that different security. And so it's not great. But I kind of understand,
yeah.
You know. Ready?
Mm-hmm. How about after we locked the doors and the buzzer was added?
So, let's see. I think it was after, so we used to never have the doors locked. In fact, when I first started here, it's kind of funny. When I first started here, there were unlocked doors over by, you know that like weird entrance by the, that's not an entrance,
like
it's an exit.
Room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That used to be unlocked all day.
Really?
So students who parked in the south lot, that senior lot, they would just come in that door. Like that's the way they used to come into school.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so, so we locked that one first, but the side doors by the library, those were still open all day. And then eventually, so anyway, there used to be a lot of unlocked doors around here. And then slowly but surely we ended up with just one. But for a long time, that door was always unlocked and you could walk in. And then we, and it was like a sign that said, like, visitors, please report to the office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Remember that.
And then we were like, okay, like, that might not be the level of security that we should have.
Yeah, that's very trusting.
Yeah, it was, exactly. So then after this shooting in Connecticut, the whole school district went to a buzz-in system. And so And you know, I wasn't a big fan, to be honest. I was in terms of, it had come up before what happened in Connecticut, and I was against it. I was like, I'd like people to be able to come up to the door and open the door and walk in, you know. In the end, I definitely, you know, support the decision of the team that did that, and that's where we're at. I feel like I'm starting to get used to it now a little bit more. The other change was that now we have that, like, in-between door, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So now there's, like, a double buzzer. That was new just this year, I think, or maybe last year.
Yeah, no, it was this year.
Just this year. And so I think that feels a little different for people, too. And the people that I really don't want it to feel different for are the students. You know, I think, like, parents and adults who visit the building, you know, it's kind of like I went to go visit. I was going to talk to a business in Burlington, you know, and I was meeting with a person to be like, what do you want graduates of South Burlington to do to, like, be successful employees at your business?
Right.
And in order for me to get into that business, like, it's like the same deal, you know? I waited outside, they buzzed me in, then I talked to someone, they were sitting there, they're like, who are you here to see? I'm like, oh, I'm here to see this person. They're like, okay, hold on a second, please. Here's your visitor badge. That person came down and got me, you know what I mean? And that was a business with maybe 100 employees, you know what I mean? So sometimes I have to remember that is kind of the way that people walk in and out of businesses. Schools have always been different, but it's kind of like an unfortunate reality. But one of the things I'd like to get better at, even with where we're at now, is I'd like to see if we could make that a little more, I don't know, like, friendly. You know what I mean? A little more like a greeting as opposed to like a security check. So that's something that, and some of that, like, the person's just sitting behind a window instead of being out there greeting you. You know, I wonder if we could do a little better there.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's the same thing with the buses. Like, the students got used to it after a little while.
Right. Yeah.
And now I just don't really think about it that
right.
much.
Well, yeah, but you still have to walk too far,
yeah.
Which, you know. And someday, I mean, listen, like all the faculty have badges that they can flash and unlock doors. And when our students go to college, university, workplaces, they're gonna have those. And so like, you're probably going to have one of those next year, no matter what you do, you know, whether it's a job or you go to college, whatever, you're going to be flashing in and out of your dorm or your where you work or whatever.
Right. So it's really just for visitors.
Right. So it kind of makes me think, like, I wonder if we could ever get to the point where students have those, you know what I mean? So, like, hey, you and your brother live on Barrett Street, and we give you an ID badge that you can, in the morning, open that side door. You know what I mean? It would just be like giving you keys to the house,
yeah,
you know?
Right?
But anyway, but I don't, the technology's not there for us yet, but could be someday.
What are some more security changes that you know are planned for the future?
I think the big thing that I would like to see, so we're working on this huge renovation, it's right here. You know, all of this master planning and, you know, we're really trying to create a student-centered facility, right? For these are the areas we're working on. Education, wellness, and support. The actual site itself, the community, sustainability, meaning like energy efficiency. And then logistics, this has to do with if we're doing construction, how are we going to do it when all the kids are in the school? So anyway, I meet with this team once a week for a few hours, and one of the things that I keep trying to say is, like, I'd like to have a really secure school that nobody even notices the security's there. You know what I mean? So, like, what are the ways that we can make security be something that kind of just happens in the background and will keep everyone safe, will keep everyone feeling safe,
but
really is, like, not obtrusive.
Like, safe and subtle.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, safe. That might even be my tagline.
Safe and subtle.
Right. So so I'm hoping that... So in terms of changes, that's something that I'd like to see change. There are other things in terms of security. The north lot, I don't really like. I think I would like to see it. I like to see it a little bit better lit.
Wait, is the north?
The junior lot. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see some better lighting out there. I'd like to see those paths a little better.
Yeah, there's lots of potholes there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something that I'd like to see be a little safer. I'd like to have a traffic light to leave the senior lot, like over here, because I think that I think it's kind of, since, but this isn't like security, this is more about just safety,
right? Yeah,
but there are a few other things, but for the most part I don't think that we're making plans to do anything that would be considered tighter security in terms of the high school. I think we're pretty tight right now.
What are more lockdown or evacuation scenarios planned for the future?
So one thing that that I'd like to be able to do is to, if we could imagine that there was some kind of crisis in the school, and let's not think about it, the school shooter, because that's like wicked depressing. But let's imagine there's like some kind of chemical exposure or something.
Right.
Something happens in a chem lab and there's like a dangerous gas. So it's like, okay, we are going to need to evacuate, but we can't move all the kids who are in the science wing through the dangerous gas to get them out of the school.
Right. So how
but there's
would you do
no
that?
Point in locking kids in the pottery room in the pottery room. So what in terms of scenarios, what we're working on right now is how can we lock down part of the school and evacuate the whole rest of the school.
Because you don't always need all in one.
Right? No, in almost every situation, you kind of have, this is a big enough school that if we could isolate where the problem is, where the, chemical spill is or whatever, and just keep those kids as safe as we can, but get everybody else out of here, because the last thing that we want is, other people in the building that's unsafe,
right.
Or that's in an unsafe environment. So that's a, that's an example of something that we haven't really practiced, like part lockdown, part evacuation.
Yeah.
But we're going to do that this spring. We're going to try something where we're like, okay, here's the situation. There's some kind of disturbance in the guidance wing. So the guidance wing is going to lock down, but everybody else is going to evacuate. And if in order for you to evacuate, you have to walk near the guidance wing, go a different way.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense. I'm surprised we haven't done something like that yet.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those tabletops that got us thinking about it. Ready?
Okay. What is your biggest personal goal when it comes to the high school security? What do you hope to accomplish?
So, I mean, obviously the most important thing is that I don't want any kind of like, I don't want any kind of, let me put it this way. The safest place for somebody between the ages of 14 and 19 in the city of South Burlington is inside this high school. That is a absolute fact. You know what I mean? So I want to make sure that everybody understands that, to start. And that is that, and that this is true all around the country. And so even though issues like school shootings and other kinds of violent acts have like grabbed a lot of the media, there's really, school remains the absolute safest place for young people of all ages. And so I want to make sure that everybody understands that when they're here, they're safe, not just because of measures that we're taking, but because they've always been safe. Statistically, people are safe. So I want to make sure that students know, staff know and understand that. I don't want people to feel like, when they come to school, they're like on some kind of high alert or something
right.
like that. Because I don't think people learn well when their brains are in that place. So that's the biggest goal that I have when it comes to the topic. And then the next thing is to just make sure that I'm staying current on what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And I think that I wasn't trained to be a security expert, I was trained to be a principal.
Right.
And so I have a lot of learning that I need to do. I have to rely on some experts, and so I'm pretty motivated to continue to do that.
Awesome. I guess that's it.
All right, so that's the last question. So,
I like done. The sound effects.
Watch that. I'm here for you. All right, are you sure you are finished recording? You will not be able to resume this interview. We're sure, right?